From beach towels to tea towels, and from mugs to water bottles, the TNT Shop has it all. Browse our shop now at tntradio.live. TNT Radio wants to hear from you. Call Rick Munn and Natalie Cheel now. From the U.S. and Canada, call 1-888-201-6425. From the U.K., call 033-0024-1026. And from Australia and New Zealand, call 1-800-670-310. Free speech is alive and well on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Okay, I'm not gonna lie, that little boom, 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 I like it. I don't like that kind of music generally, but for whatever reason, if you could see what I could see right now, there's four little faces, five little faces actually on my Zoom screen, and we're all but anyway, we're not here to throw moves. We're not here to throw moves. We're here to talk to people. We're here to talk to people, and we're here to talk to each other. This is TNT Radio. We are coming at you live from Brisbane in Australia, and it's Tuesday, the 21st of March, 2023, and hell's bells. What a time to be alive. And this is Open Line with the most infamous export ever to be unleashed from Reading in the UK, none other than Natalie Cheel and I. Natalie, I must ask you, that music, does it make you go teary-eyed and think back to your old clubbing days, although allegedly you're still found in the club from time to time, but does it make you go back? And Darren too, actually, yeah. What do you think?
It's not quite music, but it does make me have a little boogie, so it's a nice way to start the morning.
Isn't it? It's a wonderful way to start the morning. And we have, a packed show today coming up. We're going to be talking to DD in a few minutes' time. And also the lines will be open from around about quarter past the hour-ish. Go onto the website and check out the telephone numbers. You can call us from anywhere in the world or outside the world, depending on where you actually live. We don't care who you are or where you're from. You're welcome to call in or just simply sit back and listen to Natalie, DD and I chewing the proverbial fat for the next 54 minutes here. Just to kick us off, I notice an international arrest warrant has been given out for Vladimir Putin. So they want to arrest him. They're telling him if he sits down in German soil, he'll be arrested. If he travels, he'll be arrested. So for any of you people out there, I just thought this would be handy for our listeners to know. If you feel led to try and arrest, make a citizen's arrest of Vladimir Putin, some things you might want to consider before you do it. Point number one, you must first go through the Russian Army, Air Force and Navy. So think about that. Do you have the capacity to make a citizen's arrest of Vladimir Putin? Then you have to go through the Russian National Guard and Vladimir Putin's Spetsnaz trained killer personal bodyguard detail. Think about that also if you happen to see him strolling down the street, Oxford Street, maybe doing a bit of shopping, Bond Street, Plymouth, he might be down Armada Way checking out the felled trees. If you see him, you might want to think about that. And then, number three, you have to go through the Russian people. And fourthly, if you've done all the above successfully, then you must survive the launch of the Russian nuclear arsenal. It's all a load of crap. How the hell are they going to arrest Vladimir Putin? And who would have the audacity to do that, Natalie? Who, I ask you, who?
And to add to that, and claiming he's got a body double too that he's using. Mm-hmm. So you'd need to make sure it was actually him and not his body double that you're about to arrest.
A decoy, if you will. Yeah, because apparently when Biden drives around in his Beast, they call his car the Beast, although apparently his nickname's the Beast also for different reasons after we saw the Hunter Biden laptop. But his car's called the Beast, but it has an exact decoy, or so no one ever really knows which car the president is in. Something tells me maybe Vladimir doesn't need a second car because nobody would be stupid enough to actually attack his motorcade should it be cruising through the streets of Kiev or Mariupol, where he visited last week, you know, the old war-torn Mariupol. He was there chilling, throwing shapes, bopping around. Probably went to the club on the Saturday night. What do you think?
Well, I'd read all the Daily Mail commenters in the UK had put that there's no way he's left his bunker. He's too scared and petrified of the West to even say, you know, that's the what people are kind of pushing. But I'm not quite so sure that Putin is quite so scared.
No. I don't think he's scared, and I don't think the Russian soldiers are fighting with shovels and spades either, as Darren and I were discussing over the last few weeks. I don't think they're losing this war at all, but of course that's what our mainstream media would want us to believe. But that's why we're here, viewers and listeners. We're here to tell you the truth and to give you the alternate take on what's going on. So we're going to pause very, very briefly. We're going to welcome Darren to take the stand, to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help him God. Don't go away. This is TNT Radio.
The facts, no spin or agenda.
Not enough with the lies, we need the facts.
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Let's think about Putin and Xi Jinping, which is an incredible name, only surpassed by Kwasi Kwarteng, who's the short-lived English chancellor. Kwasi Kwarteng, what a name. K-W-A-K-W-A, and now we have Xi Jinping, which I think is two axe eyes. What a name, what a guy. He's meeting up with old Putin, or they've been meeting, and Putin's been escorting him to his car after a 4.5-hour chat. They're standing shoulder to shoulder, telling them that they will be the vanguard of protecting the world. Darren, what's the bottom line here? What have they been up to behind closed doors?
Okay, Xi is actually a very high-scoring Scrabble two-letter word, also just out of interest, being an ex-Scrabble player. And I just wanted to comment on the Putin arrest story, the ICC warrant out for Putin's arrest. If he lands in, 140-odd countries, they're going to arrest him. The USA put a law in place in 2002 prohibiting any compliance or cooperation with ICC court rulings, and that they would use force if necessary, if an American citizen or an ally of one of their or a citizen of one of their allies was arrested and detained in accordance with the ICC. And yet Joe Biden's going, oh, we're going to arrest Putin. Only if you were a madman would you try to arrest Putin. And yes, Putin and Xi has arrived in Moscow. He arrived there yesterday. They have a meeting that's going to kick off today. Vladimir Putin is holding informal talks with Chinese counterpart Xi Jinping as part of the latter's three-day visit to Moscow. The leaders will discuss key global issues and relations between the two countries. Putin and Xi are expected to conclude the portion of the trip devoted to negotiations on Tuesday, today, by signing a statement on deepening bilateral relations and an expanding economic, and although it doesn't say it here, it says it in other articles, military tries. This marks the first time the Chinese leader has traveled to Russia since Moscow started its special military operation in Ukraine. And while China has not openly supported Russians' actions in that country, neither has it joined the West in condemning the military operation and imposing sanctions on Moscow. And actually, Russia is now the number one oil and gas supplier to China. China also revealed a 12-step peace plan. There are some issues with the peace plan that Russia are not necessarily happy with, i.e. the American, the US goals are incompatible with the peace plan, because one of them is the total destruction of the Russian military, and that Zelensky won't negotiate with Russia while Putin is still in power. The US have also said, we're not interested in any peace deal that China offers, so we can't have peace. But no one's asking Ukraine or the Ukrainian people. A couple of other things about China and what's going on in Moscow. You might like this one, Rick. 40 African countries or their representatives and leaders were also in Moscow yesterday for the parliamentary convention of Russia-Africa relationships in a multipolar world. This is a rejection of the US hegemony. And not only that, China has managed to get top officials from Iran to travel to Saudi Arabia for peace talks. I bet there are some American diplomats or non-diplomats, however you want to refer to them, who are having sleepless nights at the moment at the thought of there being peace in the Middle East and it's being brokered by China. China seems to be asserting itself on the world stage. And I think economic and military alliance between China and Russia, which completely contradicts the US's old Cold War strategy of keeping those two countries apart, means there is now a new kid on the block and the USA is no match for them.
New kids on the block, eh? Not like, what about that old band? They were great, you know. What about the Xi Jinping? By the way, I think it's Jinping with a J-I. I got that wrong. It's not X-I-X-I. It's X-I-J-I, which is even cooler, by the way. Natalie, what's your take on all this shenanigans and skullduggery doing?
Well, it's the blossoming friendship, doesn't it? But mainly to push back against Western dominance. I think that it seems to me that if you and China working as allies against the West, it's, can you ever see that actually ending? It's like, I think it's kind of 1984 war that's never ending. Can you see any real peace being made if Russia and China are constantly against the real peace still?
I don't think so. And Darren mentioned this here. The takeaway from this for me is that the 40 African leaders that they were buddying up beside, we were talking yesterday, Natalie, about the Rwanda business. Mm-hmm. We were talking about Uganda. We were talking about how important it is strategically, that whole Central African belt running across the equator from east to west, from Kenya on the east, right the way through the Congo, right the way through Rwanda, Uganda, and Nigeria. And Ghana, huge mineral resource rich places. And here we have 40 African leaders budding up with Putin and Xi. And also, I believe Putin has wrote off approximately $20 billion worth of African debt yesterday. So everybody seems to be wants to be friends with the Africans now, but not the people in Libya and Morocco at the top, or the people in Mozambique and Botswana down in the middle, but this very strategic equatorial belt of mineral rich strategic positions in Africa. Everybody wants to be an African friend right now. I wonder why.
Well, spells,
and I wonder. I wonder if the African leaders are going to be happy about that, with all the with them fighting over all the money coming into the country.
Yeah, there could be a lot of ructions amongst themselves because obviously everybody's going to want to take the biggest piece of the pie. Now, I don't know how they're going to divide this up, but at the minute, as mentioned, Rwanda are well primed to get Australian money, maybe Australian money as well, but UK money for the repatriation or movement, relocation of refugees. A lot of money being pumped in there. Uganda allegedly have struck gold. There's a humongous gold mine has been found in Uganda worth trillions of dollars at least. Kenya, there's an Irish oil company actively drilling in Turkana province in Kenya right now called Tullow Oil. They have struck gold, the black gold, they call it, Texas tea, from the Beverly Hillbillies in northwestern Kenya. This is an area, by the way, that the Kenyans even refused to accept as part of Kenya because it was so dry and destitute, and the people there, they said, were so backward. But now they found oil there, then all of a sudden everybody wants to claim Turkana province as part of their own. It's quite amazing, really, how attitudes can shift, especially in Africa. Experimenting on the kids, tick the box. Taking their mineral resources, tick the box. Colonizing them in the past, tick the box. They can't do it by force this time because they're broke and they're busy fighting each other. But I wouldn't be surprised to see a lot more alliances forged with Africa going forward this year and in the next year. Watch how Africa rises up on the world stage over the next 12 months. Mark my words.
They're gonna probably say, hey, this BRICS alliance looks like a big, strong economic organization. Everybody is in it because we think the West is the world. But actually, when you start counting up the countries, especially as more and more are being driven towards Russia and China, it looks like that, you know, this BRICS alliance, which is Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, but soon to include countries like the 40 countries from Africa that are in Moscow at the moment, Saudi Arabia, Iran. These are, we're going to eventually have the largest oil producing, mineral rich countries on the planet. And they're not associated with the USA or the UK and EU or Australia. And so we've got this big split, like you said, and there seems to be a good term there, changing attitudes. Everyone's no longer looking to the West for their wealth and their security. They're going to be looking to the East, Russia and China. So there's a big divide. It seems to be deepening and getting wider and wider. And I suspect, you know, that's the future that we're going into. You know, people to wear new world orders and all these things, look to Russia and China, because I suspect they're going to be taking the lead.
Yeah, more to come on this one, no doubt, over the next week, I would say, and in the next week as well. And of course, keep an eye. That's the top tip for 2023 here from openline/lockedandloaded/TNT. Keep an eye on Africa. It will rise to world prominence. Mark my words. So we've got to pause right there, Darren. So massive thanks to you for all the input this morning. We will be back after this short break here. The lines will be open. Should you feel like giving us a call here on TNT, please don't go away.
For Voye Morich on TNT Radio.
Speaking of Mexico, Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene has come out today and said, I'm proud to co-sponsor Dan Crenshaw's legislation to declare war on the Mexican cartels. We must authorize the use of military force to eliminate the thugs who are smuggling drugs and illegal aliens across our southern border, leading to crime and murder of Americans, while cartel members wait for their fate to be sealed by our great military. We will put a hit on their bank accounts by sanctioning any government that supports or allows cartels to operate. Yada, yada. There's war going on that affects every single American, but it's not in Ukraine or the Middle East. It's on our southern border. And what concerns me is when she says, while cartel members wait for their fate to be sealed by our great military. Yeah, that's frightening, because this is like uncharted territory where we're headed. U.S. Special Forces heading into Mexico. I mean, Peter Zeihan said this is going to become Afghanistan. So, wow. Yeah. I suppose we were here, you know, like a century ago. So we just keep revisiting history on all fronts.
For Voye Morich on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
This is a message for the parents of young children in the United States. I am Dr. Tess Laurie from the World Council for Health. Please consider the danger of vaccinating your children and babies with the COVID-19 injections. They are not the same as traditional vaccines and are causing significant harm to children around the world. Your children have their whole lives ahead of them. They are not endangered by COVID at all. Please hear us when we say, for your children, it is much safer to wait. Thank you.
Morticians are reporting that vaccine deaths show thick, fibrous clots that don't easily degrade. Stop the jab and save lives. The COVID vaccine does not work. On air 24/7. This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Okay, lines are open. If anyone wants to give us a call, don't be shy out there. I promise we won't bite, at least I won't bite. Maybe Natalie will bite you. I don't know if she'll bite you or not. But anyway, if she does, make sure you've got your tetanus jab. Oh, no. In fact, don't take your chances with tetanus. Don't get any jabs at all right now. I'm a little bit hesitant when it comes to needles right now. Natalie, would you get any injections for anything, even foreign travel, if they told you you needed it for rabies, et cetera, et cetera? Are you totally off that idea as well right now?
Well, I'm in a good mood right now, so I'm not going to be biting anyone. And I'd also advise, well, I myself am not going to be taking any in the near future. I don't trust the pharmaceutical industry right at the moment. We still haven't had any real investigation scenes and their side effects. So who knows what they're going to be putting out onto the market. And testing procedures at the moment. So my advice and what I'll be doing is I'll be staying way clear until we get some more answers.
Yeah, that's about as good a strategy as you could expect to do. And obviously, we're not giving anybody any medical advice here, but I think people's attitudes and perceptions have very much changed over the last 3 years. And I remember right back at the start, I would have said, you know what, I'm not an anti-vaxxer, I'm just anti-COVID vaccine. But as per right now, knowing what we're knowing now and having a little bit more information thrown at us and a little bit more revelations being made about what people are doing and the effects that these jabs have been having on people like for decades upon decades, I think a lot of people are certainly, maybe not completely anti-vaccine, but certainly, what's the term, vaccine hesitant right now. And that could potentially save your life going forward to be vaccine hesitant. It's not something to be embarrassed about, is it?
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, I come from a slightly different place from you. I don't know if I've discussed it before, but my family haven't had any vaccines now for over 10 years. My son had an MMR jab, and I made the decision after that that nobody would be having any vaccines. My youngest son hasn't had his child I know. No days off in nursery or primary school, secondary school. That's only my personal experience, but our own research, and not just to believe everything that's coming out of the mainstream media.
Yeah, a lot of people would be sitting, well, not necessarily sitting listening to the show, but, you know, they push these things very, very hard. I don't know if you saw the press round that Fauci did yesterday or the day before that. He was going around constituents or people in certain areas and trying to get them to succumb to medical assault through his products that he's been pimping out for big pharma. People were having absolutely none of it. And they were schooling him on their own doorsteps as he stood there saying, oh, you know, it was 20 years worth of vaccine research all crumbed into one area. And the guy said, you know, 9 months? 9 months isn't long enough. And in fact, he said 20 years isn't even long enough. We don't even know the long-term effects. And of course, Fauci left with his little tail between his legs and his little mask on and went door to door trying to pimp. How tragic is it, Natalie? How tragic when he is literally knocking doors, doing a press round in America, trying to get people to take this crap at this point in history after everything that's been done. He's still at it. He just won't let go.
No, it's pure propaganda. Unfortunately, there are still a lot of people in the West that believe every single friend who's pregnant at the moment, who was taken back and quite shocked at the list now of childhood vaccines, the ones they're pushing in pregnancy. It seems to be getting more and more each year on the backdrop of this COVID vaccine hasn't been looked into. And they're expecting people just to sit there and accept without even questioning or challenging it. It's quite.
Yeah, it's a funny old setup, isn't it? And I was hoping by this point in history that we'd be moving on from all this, at least pushing this product. But now we're having to deal with the aftermath now, the increase in deaths, the injuries, the side effects, the compensation claims, the chasing people through the courts to try and get them prosecuted. It just seems like there's absolutely no end to this COVID nightmare. And I say COVID in inverted commas, but we'll have to touch on it because obviously it's still making the news. But we've got plenty of other things to discuss here in the morning, which we're going to do. We're actually going to take a quick news break right now. And when we come back, there's some issues we discussed yesterday. There's been further developments where we're talking about Ofsted school inspections that led to a suicide of a lady that lives not too far from you. But since we covered that yesterday, there's actually been, and you actually sent that to me and said, look, this is only a local story here, but it's important. But it's actually went national. Maybe they were listening to us yesterday and, you know, it's had a knock-on domino effect, but it has went national. And there's been a lot of kickbacks. Schools are closing their doors. They're not going to let the inspectors in. They're calling for a reform of it. So maybe we'll touch on that when we come back here after the news on TNT Radio.
We do have some big news. Listen up.
Now, TNT Radio News.
Matt Boyland here with a look at your TNT headlines. The creator of OpenAI's controversial ChatGPT program has warned artificial intelligence will kill millions of jobs and will have the potential to facilitate cyber attacks. Wyoming has become the 19th U.S. state to ban transgender athletes from participating in female sports, and barricades were being erected around a Manhattan courthouse on Monday as New York City braced for a possible indictment of former U.S. President Donald Trump.
For all the latest community events, rallies, marches, festivals, and fundraisers happening near you, visit the What's On Events calendar on the TNT Radio website at tntradio.live. Stay in touch on TNT Radio.
Okay, we're good to go here. Natalie, this story that we covered yesterday concerning this teacher, her name was Ruth Perry. Ofsted have been urged to pause inspections after teacher death. A teacher took her own life after a bad review from Ofsted in a very well-respected school. She took it very personally and probably under a hell of a lot more pressure than that in real life. I don't think it was just because of an Ofsted school report, but that would have what tipped this lady over the edge, because we don't know what's going on inside people's heads, do we? Or maybe it was actually the sole contributing factor to her suicide. But either way, it was bang out of order and the woman's dead as a result of this. What's being done, or what are they talking about doing as a result? Yeah, sorry, Nat is just the headphones. I can't just muted the headphones. Let's see. Try and see if that's any better. Can you hear me now, Natalie? Just having a few connection issues right now. Just a few connections. Bear with us just for one second, because it's been a funny old glitches in the matrix here this morning. We're going to hopefully take another quick ad break, or else, in fact, you know what? I'm going to keep talking here, and Ben can connect Natalie to the phone. Hopefully that's her now. Natalie, please, can you hear me loud and clear? Are you connected? She can hear me. Well, listen, I'm going to give some information here about the story. So basically, the Ofsted have been urged to pause their inspections after a teacher's death. Natalie and I were talking about this yesterday. The lady's name was Ruth Perry, and she was the head teacher at Caversham Primary School in Caversham in Reading. So education unions have called for Ofsted inspections to be paused in the wake of the death of a head teacher. Ruth Perry, head at Caversham Primary School in Reading, took her own life while waiting for the publication of a report that downgraded her school from outstanding to inadequate. So that was quite the downgrading there. It wasn't like it was down one step. It was from excellent to downright awful. And as a result of that, she took her own life. And Natalie was explaining yesterday that people were actually moving into that area, or it certainly would have influenced the house prices even in that area to be so close to a good school. So the National Education Union, School Leaders Union, NAHT, and the Association of School and College Leaders have called for the inspections to be halted, and Ofsted has been asked for a comment. Natalie, have you got a chance to dig through that article? And what are your views on this after we talk?
Yeah, I have. There's also another head teacher who's put on Twitter letting Ofsted in her building today. That's in nearby Newbury. She, like other on the country, okay, are wanting to make a stand.
Okay, just right now, I don't know what it is, but we're having a little bit of problems here with Natalie's audio. So rather than a cutting in and out, I'm just going to freestyle it here for a little minute. Hopefully we can get this resolved. Everything was tickety-boo up until this morning. So listen, it happens from time to time. We're connecting from all over the place, as you can imagine, and it's live radio, so we don't do punch-ins or anything like that. So hopefully service will be resumed sooner rather than later. So I'm going to try and cover this off here. And obviously, if anybody's listening in and you want to give me a call, you can do that. Yep, I would reconnect. Natalie, try reconnecting to Zoom again. Use your phone headphones like you would do if you were coming on as a guest. And hopefully that will work. If it doesn't, it doesn't matter. I've been doing this now for since day one, and I can hold the fort. So don't get stressed out about it. And if you're listening in and you want to leave us a comment on the live chat as well, you can feel free to do so. So basically, this story here in particular is horrible. Ms. Perry's family said the 53-year-old had described the inspection last November as the worst day of her life. Paul Whiteman, General Secretary of School Leaders Union, NAHT, said it is clear that school leaders up and down the country are placed under such intolerable pressure by the current approach. It can't be right that we treat dedicated professionals this way. Something has to change. And here's the thing. Sadly, it's always somebody dying that has to trigger change. Okay, so they were probably made aware of this, or they were probably flagged up by many teachers or insiders saying, you know what, this is stressful, this is not right, this is putting us under a lot of undue pressure. And probably they were ignored and told to get on with things, but obviously they've got on with things, and as a result of it, this lady has now taken her life in Reading, which is tragic, but hopefully lessons will be learned from that one. Another story that I want to cover off this morning is there is a Danish man, okay, a Danish far-right leader has been banned from the UK over a threat to burn the Quran in Wakefield. Okay, so we have a chap by the name of Rasmus Paludan who said that he planned to burn the Islamic holy book in Wakefield. And why was he doing that? You might wonder. Well, for him personally, I would say it's nothing more than a publicity stunt to raise his own profile. He obviously wants to generate controversy and people talking about it, which obviously succeeded because that's what I'm doing right now. But I don't want to focus on him per se, or the act of burning the Quran in public, which he wanted to do in Wakefield, obviously to whip up a frenzy. I think he was due to do it this Tuesday or Wednesday, either today or tomorrow in Wakefield. Why Wakefield? You might be thinking, well, the answer's simple. About a month ago, there was an autistic boy who damaged his own copy of the Quran. He brought it into a school in Wakefield. He bought it online. He brought it in. He dropped it, or he scuffed the pages, or the cover was scuffed. As a result of that, the local Muslim community found out about this, and obviously they took it as a great offence that somebody would desecrate or defile their book. So there was a sham court that was called, and the local police were actually brought in on this one, and the boy's mother was brought in on this one, made to cover her head, called her own son foolish, said he was foolish for doing what he did. He apologises, she apologises, she was bowing, she was scraping. They had the police sitting there as well. They were bowing and they were scraping as these people held court. And of course, they succumbed and they relented. And, you know, the police said people need to be educated better as to what's what. They need to be educated better and they need to respect other people's cultures and realize this sort of thing isn't on. Absolutely ridiculous. There is no law in the UK that bans blasphemy. So people are free to blaspheme whoever they want, whenever they want, or wherever they want. Of course, if they do it in certain places, they could expect to get a good slap. But the fact of the matter is, it's not enforceable by the law. So a kangaroo court was held. A lot of groveling and apologizing and, you know, pacification was done. And in response to this, this chap from Denmark, this Danish guy, Rasmus Paludan, said, well, you know what, I'm going to go to Wakefield myself, and I'm going to burn a copy of the Quran. Now, obviously, that's a bit stupid. You know, he's just as bad desecrating somebody else's book that they believe is holy and believe is good and right. But the fact of the matter is, if he wants to do it, he damn well should have been able to do it. And let me tell you this, if he was planning to come to Wakefield and burn a Bible, or go to St. Paul's Cathedral or Westminster Abbey and burn a Bible outside of that, there wouldn't have been a problem with that. I would say the police would have allowed it to happen, and probably any Christian groups that came out to protest against that would have been held back while he executed his right to do whatever the hell he wanted to do when it came to blasphemy laws. So it seems to be very, very one-sided when it comes to this business. Very, very one-sided. And just to give you the details on the story, Security Minister Tom Tugendhat said that Rasmus Paludan, founder of the anti-Islam party Stram Kurs, has been added to the UK immigration's watch list. Now, here we go again. We have this two-tier application of the law and application of people being put onto watch lists. There are literally hundreds upon hundreds of people flooding into the UK by dinghy and by air, into UK, into Ireland, and all over the world. 400,000 people are going to be piling into Australia as well. Many, many people are not being verified. Their identity is not being verified. Nobody knows who the hell they are. They're going on to commit murders and rapes and organizing crime in certain areas. But, you know, they're free to operate however they like. But when we have a Danish man who wants to come and simply set fire to a book, that's a different story altogether. So, you know, the background is that four pupils were suspended at that Wakefield school over damage to a copy of the Quran. Mr. Paludan said that he would travel to the city to, quote, fight back against undemocratic forces. And I'm not advocating burning the Quran, by the way. I don't think you should burn the Quran. You shouldn't burn any books that somebody else holds dear. What's the point? It doesn't accomplish anything. It just offends people and winds people up. Of course, you're free to do it, but I don't endorse it. I don't endorse burning any books, let alone books that other people hold dear. It's a waste. Donate the book to someone else if you want to, or throw it in the bin. Do whatever you want to do, but stop antagonizing people and winding people up. You know, it's what's the point? What's the point? So it was deemed to be a hateful and a racist act. Security Minister told the House of Commons about his intervention after Simon Lightwood, the Labour MP for Wakefield, raised concerns on Monday about Paludan's visit. He said far-right Islamophobic Danish politician said he will travel here for the sole purpose of burning a Quran, and on and on and on and on it goes. So I don't want to labour this one too much, except to say it's not about this guy per se. It's not about burning a Quran or burning a Bible per se. It's about the one-way application of banning people from coming into the country, because he hasn't actually committed any crime as per now, not that I know of. He doesn't have a criminal record, or maybe he does. Maybe they know something that I don't. But what I'm getting at is it doesn't stop hundreds and hundreds of people flooding in, literally thousands on a weekly basis, and being housed in hotels, guest houses here, procured by Serco at the British taxpayers' expense. And then many of these men, predominantly men, go on to commit crimes, horrific crimes, and not only are they not deported, but they're locked up at the British taxpayers' expense. And then when they are released, you know, they're not deported at the end of that. Or if they are, then they're crying about their human rights being breached. All I'm trying to say is it seems to be a one-way system when it comes to these men coming into the country, and somebody else wants to come in and do an act of desecration of a so-called holy book, well, then that's a different story altogether. So that's just my thoughts and opinions on that story in Wakefield. Seems to be a little hotbed of activity right now is Wakefield. So let's know what your thoughts about this are, or what your opinions and views about this are. I'm just making a look at the chat here before we take a quick break. Welcome, by the way, to everybody in the chat. It's been a hectic little morning here right now, I'm not going to lie. It's been a little bit stressful, but we're professionals here. We know how to hold it together. We know how to keep the show rolling. So that's what I'm trying to do. So I'm just casting my eye over the chat. Jethro's in there. Welcome to Jethro and Leo X. Jock is in there. Holly, of course, and Maz and Rob Hoyle are in there. Just trying to look at what they're saying, talking about vaccinations. Mark Delaney says, good morning all. I made the decisions in the 90s not to have my kids vaxxed after the MMR scare. Best decision I have ever made. Yep, Mark, I'm with you on that one 100%. Mazzy says, I've read some damaging info on the childhood vaccinations in the past and links to ASD, etc., including post-arthritic tachycardia to gut damage. Translated, that means it's bad. Okay, it causes a lot of damage. Rob Hall said, we had our first 2 years ago now, not had a single jab. We made a decision not to. Midwife did remind us about children's inoculations. Yep, fair play to you, Rob. You've had a little one, 2 years of age, no jabs for the child, and I'm sure and want to believe that the child is doing well. Mazzy said, thank you for thought-provoking, she said, excellent point, Rick, it's all just provocation, but hopefully, as well as that, it does actually provoke thought. Bloden said, Rasmus has done this several times in Sweden before to highlight exactly the problems with Sharia-style underground courts, and we didn't seem to care then. Exactly. It's definitely a publicity stunt. He's after the publicity. It's working. We're talking about him here and we're talking about him on the live chat. However, I think the most important thing is this issue of allegedly breaking a law that doesn't exist, which is blasphemy. We don't have any blasphemy laws here in the UK. And Mazzy says, you're doing a grand job, Rick. Thank you, Mazzy. There's one thing I can do. by the grace of God, it's talk. I could talk to the cows, come home. So it's all good here. Missing Natalie, I'm not going to lie. I love having her on the show with me. But sometimes, listen, you can't fight technology. You can't fight connection. So we'll have to roll with the punches and accept that we win some battles. We lose some battles, but the war belongs to us. So I'm getting very philosophical here. I might even break out my copy of The Art of War, which I always keep beside my trusty microphone, give some battle tactics possibly when we come back after this short break here on TNT Radio.
With his expert analysis and opinion,
this is TNT Radio's Timothy Shea.
Never before in medical history have putative vaccines increased the likelihood that you'll contract the disease against which you were allegedly vaccinated. And yet that's exactly what the data for the mRNA gene therapy injections are showing. After 7 months, your risk of contracting COVID-19 is actually greater than if you hadn't been jabbed. So congratulations, you've just negatively inoculated yourself. But the data out of the United Kingdom are even worse, where 1 in 800 people who have been jabbed have suffered sudden death or severe vaccine injury. Indeed, it would require 321 sudden deaths or severe vaccine injury to prevent one healthy 50 to 59-year-old from having to go to ICU for COVID-19. That number rises to 1,165 sudden deaths and severe injuries for every healthy 40 to 49-year-old saved from ICU. And the number for those under 40, incalculable, because there has never been a case in the United Kingdom of a healthy person under the age of 40 being sent to ICU for COVID-19. And yet every single person in that age group who has been jabbed has a 1 in 800 risk of dying or suffering severe vaccine injury. This is criminal. And the criminals in the government and Big Pharma that have pushed this on society need to face consequences. From MAGAInstitute.com, this is Timothy Shea for TNT Radio.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
If you're talking about it,
cuts to Medicare and Social Security, they're off the table.
We're talking about
today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Okay, some other stuff that's floating up to the surface of the cesspit. It seems to be when we talk about something one day, it gets expanded upon in the mainstream media the following day or later on that day. Maybe that's just a coincidence. I don't know. But yesterday, we were talking about these so-called phone alerts that are going to be sent to UK mobile phones on the 23rd of April, I believe, Sunday. The 23rd of April, which I understand is St. George's Day, there's going to be a loud blaring siren type alarm that will be blasted through people's phones just to check that it's working. And yesterday we were talking about why they're doing this. Obviously, it's to whip up hysteria and fear. And obviously, there's an element of flexing there on the government's part when it comes to the fact that they can interrupt your day and blast you with a siren when you're probably sitting, eating your dinner or doing other activities. Who knows what you're up to on a Sunday night. But it's geared up to have a control element. And obviously, Darren also mentioned that there's a data harvesting element to this too. They will be monitoring how many phones that it reached, how many phones responded, how quickly they responded. Possibly people haven't upgraded their operating software, simply switched their phone off, or disabled the alerts, which you can do in your settings if you have the latest software installed on your phone. So we covered that yesterday. But another, infomercial has been put out on British TV. And we have a lady here who's getting very excited about this. And she said, you can disable the alarm. So she comes out and says you can disable, but the government says no. It doesn't matter what the government says. You do what you want to do. You don't follow blindly what the government says, which is the reason why, as a whole, were in this mess to begin with, because people simply said yes to the government when they should have been saying no to the government. So in her words, you can disable this, but the government says, no, it doesn't matter what they say. What matters is what you say. You say no, I'm not doing this. You say no, I'm not alerting, receiving alerts for this on my phone. You say no, I'm not partaking in this nonsense exercise. Simple, the power rests with you. Now listen to this. This is interesting. She said that this will be for weather-related incidents initially. Okay? So, initially, it's to warn us about bad weather. And then she goes on to say, and could be for terrorist incidents, but this has not yet been confirmed. So, what happens then on the 24th of April if there's a massive terror attack in the UK? We won't get alerted to that because we haven't had confirmation that it will cover terror alerts. It will only be for weather-related incidents. And, you know, think about this as you're listening, wherever you're listening in the world, because other countries have this facility as well. What weather have you ever experienced in your life that would need the government to beep you on your phone? The only thing that I can think of is there used to be a show on satellite TV about people that used to go fishing in the waters off the coast of Alaska, deep sea fishers or deep sea whatever, catching lobsters. And that was the worst weather I've ever seen in my life. Small groups of boats in treacherous conditions, night fishing off the coast of Alaska, sub-zero temperatures, huge waves getting splashed, the danger of being washed overboard. I would understand if the government was to ping me and say, hey, Rick, there's bad weather on your way. But you know what? Even if they were, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? You can't get off that boat. And by the time you get the alert, the crisis will already have happened. What are you going to do about it? I believe, like everybody else, you look out your window. And you know what? If it's raining, you bring an umbrella or you put on a raincoat. If it's a sunny day, you might put on your shorts and a t-shirt, okay? Use a little bit of common sense. But I think really what this has confirmed as well is the primary driver behind this so-called governmental alert is to drive climate change alarmism and climate change fear. Think about the wording. It will be for weather-related incidents initially, and could be for terrorist incidents, but this has not yet been confirmed. So it is going to be the rise and rise of climate fear porn over the next year. I remember this time last year, maybe 18 months ago, there was a sting done on a CNN executive. He said, you know what, the COVID narrative is coming to an end. We'll be winding that one down. And after that, there will be a massive push on climate change alarmism, climate change stories and reporting, and the silencing of any voices that deviate from that narrative. And we're starting to see that already with the whole climate change scam. So just for your information there, the weather will be initially the reason for the alerts to be sent out to your phone, if, unless you have it disabled, of course, and it could also be for terrorist incidents. So make of that what you will. I saw a picture yesterday, it's a tragic picture of a lady in an airplane, and I don't know why they take these selfies with these stupid masks on, but the one thing you'll always notice is the dead eyes. Okay, the dead eyes. Forget about the mask. I don't even see the mask anymore. I just see these dead, lifeless, soul-sucked out eyes. They say the eyes are the window to the soul. And anybody that's still buying into the branch COVIDian cult narrative at this point in history is gone. They're completely gone. So there's a picture here of a lady who's a doctor sitting on a plane, you know, hair up, makeup on, you know, best clothes on, but slapped an N95 mask on her beak, and her two soulless eyes are staring at the camera. And this is a genuine account. Sometimes I read these accounts and I think they're satire, they're parody accounts, but they're not. That's a tragedy. They're actually serious. And she said, I no longer mask everywhere. I avoid most large gatherings. I choose outdoors wherever possible, and assess indoor spaces on a basis of density / ventilation. I also consider the date of my last booster in her case, Novavax, 3 weeks ago. I continue to mask on planes and anywhere else I consider higher risk. I think airlines, there should be a dedicated airline for people that still want a mask. I believe if you're terrified and you want to sanitize and you want to mask up in your flight, yeah, you should be allowed to do that, but you shouldn't be allowed to project that nonsense onto normal everyday people. Okay, and I wouldn't mind so much usually were it not being for the fact that people like this drove the scandemic through the last 3 years and we have suffered collateral damage as a result of it. So yes, of course, I know people will be thinking, well, it's her right. She can wear a mask if she wants. She can sanitize if she wants. Yeah. I get that. Okay, technically, you're right. Technically, I'm wrong, but I'm just speaking as a human being here. I'm sick of seeing this nonsense. I'm sick of seeing the paraphernalia. I'm sick of seeing all the trappings of this mask fetishism and hand-washing and social distance fetishism, this cultish behavior going on with the branch COVIDians, and there's still people perpetuating it. If you want to get really depressed, the story's bad enough in and of itself, but if you read the comments of people supporting these actions and people getting behind with their own stories of what they've been doing to protect themselves, that's equally depressing. These people are still out there. These people are not afraid to speak their minds, and these people are living in a set of perpetual fear. Holly agrees. She says, totally agree, Rick. They are in a cult. Old man, good morning. Old man from America, by the way. It's very early in the morning, your time. He says, I feel the same way. When I see a person with a mask on, all I see is a lifeless lemming. Just following and allowing this to happen. Absolutely right. That's it. I don't see the mask anymore. I just see this sad individual who's had their life robbed from them or chose to throw it away. It's terrible. Jock Herrer has said, a couple of zombies still wearing masks in my local supermarket. Every time I go in there, they're working away with the blue masks over their faces. I think anyone wearing them at this point must be suffering from PTSD. I would agree with that, Jock. There's one young lad who I did get talking to in a supermarket about a month ago. He was doing the checkout. He was wearing a mask. He was very nervous. He was talking to me. He kept adjusting it. I said, are you still worried about COVID? And he says, yeah, I'm worried in case I get it and I could kill my mom. She's not very well and my immune system's weak and compromised. He's still wearing that damn thing. And in fact, I think if he was ordered to take it off, he wouldn't do it. Remember saying to my mum once, you're only wearing the mask because people told you to wear it. She says, yes, you're right. And then I says, well, if they told you not to wear it, you would take it off. She said, no, I wouldn't. I'm keeping it on for life. I'm always going to wear it now because it protects me. I actually said, mum, you know, it doesn't protect you. You realize that? And she says, I know, but I think it does. And that's what's important. That's the mindset. That's the mindset that people have that have been brainwashed by the branch COVIDians. Other things here, actually don't have time to cover them. I've only got 2 minutes left. How time flies when you're having fun here on TNT Radio. There's no point in me digging into any other stories at this point because I'm going to get cut off by the news. So just to make you aware, tomorrow, all being well, fingers crossed, we will have no issues with connections, etc. But it does happen. Listen, I'm just putting that out there. It does happen because this is live radio and not everything works perfectly all the time. Most of the time it does. 95, 96, maybe 97 or 98%. Yes, it does. But there's some things we just can't take account of. But we try and work our way around them. So thank you for your patience this morning and your perseverance. I don't think I've scared anyone off, at least not just yet. I'll be back after the news with Locked and Loaded. I have Darren will be joining me again to talk about some more news, and also Fabio Vici. Fabio is a long-time contributor to Locked and Loaded. And in fact, what I've done is I used to make notes on paper, kept them in a file, and I've dug out the notes that I made last February and March with Fabio, predictions that we made for the coming year, and guess what? They've all come true. Yes, so we're going to be revisiting some of those and looking at some of the other events that are happening on the world stage. Fabio is well clued in when it comes to geopolitics and finance, so hopefully we'll get talking in the next hour. Tomorrow morning, Natalie and I will be on from 8 I'll be back after the news here with more magic on the way, only on TNT Radio.